Genesis 40, verse 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches of 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Verse 21. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." What I want to say is very brief, and I trust very practical. We've had before us in our readings the Father. We've had an exhortation that we might respond to the Father, that we might be responsive to that truth which we learn and we know. And today we've had before us practical consequences of the things we've been studying. And I just want to say a little word which is intended to encourage us in our response. That what we have learned objectively, what we understand, what we know, might find its way out in a responsive way. And I trust it's a practical word. I want to be very simple and direct, to be practical. Joseph, we know the story well. He interpreted the butler's dream, and he had a a simple request to make of the butler. When it is well with you, remember me. And wasn't that much longer, 3 days. It wasn't as if the fulfillment was years on. Just 3 days later, the butler was restored. And yet we read, he forgot Joseph. And I want us to use this as a little illustration of an opportunity we have each one to answer to the Lord's request. It's given in the same way. Remember me. We touch on it a little. It's been said that it's not issued in the form of a command. It's the desire of the Lord's heart. It's addressed to our affections. And we've been reminded too of the Lord's words to the woman at the well. The Father seeketh such. He seeketh true worshippers. And here in Luke we read of the Lord, of his disciples. He desired to have that Passover with him. These are the words that are used. It gives us a sense that it's God's desire in regard to these things. And how can we, if we are aware that God desires something of us, how can we go on the way like the butler? How can we not respond? I address this word really in encouragement. I don't know all of you. I don't know what your circumstances are. But I remember for myself, when I began to have an appreciation of what was involved in remembering the Lord. And there came a time when I realized that I should be remembering the Lord in a practical way. And I forget how long it was before the circumstance arrived, before I plucked up courage to ask. I remember the occasion. I was in the kitchen with my mother and I said, Mummy, I've been thinking, you know, that I'd like to start breaking bread. And it was something to overcome. I was a little nervous in asking. But once the ice was broken, you know, the Lord comes in. And maybe there are some here who just have some obstacle before them. And it maybe takes a matter of courage. It's just something holding us back. Well, I want us to set those things aside. The fear of men. What others might think of us. And to be occupied with the thoughts and the heart of the Lord Jesus and the Father. It is his desire. He has a desire in his heart. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we want to be those who are mindful that it is well with us. Is it well with you? Are we like the butler? We were once imprisoned, we were in bondage to sin, and we've been restored. A very simple picture of what the work of the Lord has done for us. We've been not restored to a place which we once enjoyed, because we never knew that. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we've been elevated to a plane, a circle of blessing. It is well with us, isn't it? It's well with us. And are we going to be like those that soon forget the source of our blessing, the one whose work has brought into effect our blessing? Let us be those that have him before us in recognition. All that we enjoy, all the blessings that we have, the fact that it is well with us is due to the Lord Jesus. And what has he asked of us? I'm reminded of Naaman. There was in his heart a measure of pride, wasn't there? What was the instruction? To dip himself in the Jordan. It wasn't for him. Why not one of the great rivers? And it had to come to the point where it was pointed out to him, Master, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Why not then simply submit to this simple instruction to dip yourself in the Jordan? And sadly, we have such a thought in our heart, don't we? If the Lord had said of us, do this or that, some great thing, I'm quite sure there'd be many more trying to prove themselves and to carry out this great feat. But no, he asks us simply to remember him. What grace it was that the Lord Jesus should institute a memorial of himself in such a simple way. Bread and wine. Everyday commodities available. It's a simple thing for us to do. And this is all he asks of us. Do this in remembrance of me. Well, maybe we have this feeling that our brother touched on, that there's a step to overcome, that we're not good enough for that step of commitment. Well, you know, the apostle in Corinthians, he tells us something of what this loaf and this cup represent. The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. We are all partakers of that one bread. The cup of blessing. It's an expression of the fellowship of the blood of Christ. So we ask ourselves, who is entitled to remember the Lord in this way? Well, it's all those represented by these simple symbols. Are we part of the one body? Am I figured there? When others break bread, am I included in that symbol, in that picture? Have I come on under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus? Am I included in that figure when they take that cup? Well, if the answer to those questions is yes, then there's nothing that should hold us back from joining those who on the first day of the week come together to remember him. You know, there are certain things that we can do down here, we have an opportunity to do down here, that we won't have an opportunity to do nor have need of when we're with the Lord. One of them is to suffer for him here. Another is to bear his reproach, to be in circumstances as if it were next to the Lord Jesus while he's being the centre of hatred and abuse, and we take, as it were, our place by his side. We say, I'm with him. And there's an opportunity in this scene to bear his reproach. When we're with him, that opportunity is lost. And this is another. An opportunity, a privilege, to remember him in this way. When we're with him, this remembrance, this picture will be set aside. We won't need symbols of him. We'll have him. We'll see him face to face. We'll be with him. We'll be like him. No need then to show forth his death till he shall come, because he will have come. And so I want to impress upon us that this is one of those things that we can only take up now, down here, before he comes. And it's a very simple thing that we do. It's a very wonderful privilege. And I would encourage us, if we haven't taken that step to identify ourselves with that little company that bears his reproach in this scene. Think of the reaction to that dear woman when the Lord was there. She broke that box of ointment. Reaction. What a waste. Why was not this soul and the money given to the poor? Well, you know, that's the view of the world. They look at us believers and they say, what a pointless exercise. Coming together, remembering, breaking bread, taking communion. Wouldn't it be better if they were out helping the poor? You know, others are very good at telling us what we ought to be doing. They don't want to do it themselves, but they know what we ought to be doing. But the world's estimation of what we do is the same as the reaction to that dear woman. But we don't worry about that. We are showing forth his death till he shall come. If it's a question of bearing his reproach, then so be it. It's something we can do here. Let's do it. Let's bear his reproach while we have an opportunity so to do. But never mind what the world thinks. The Lord himself has asked us, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, remembering the Lord Jesus is one of those things that we can do, whether we're a brother or a sister, young or old, whether we've been a believer an hour or for many years. Doesn't involve gift or ability. When we come together, it's not a matter of exercising gift. It's not a matter of our intellect, our education. All these things are set aside and we come. We're one. Brother, sister, old and young, we're all there. We're each one of us part of that one loaf. We're each one of us part of that one cup. And when we have the Lord before us, what is it but a response of the heart? And we're occupied with him. And the Spirit draws out our thoughts. Never mind that our concept, our appreciation of the Lord differs from another. The Spirit takes what we have and together it rises up. The Lord takes account of it. And we've also been thinking of our response to the Father. Well, of course, as we come together, the Lord being in the midst of the assembly, he leads us, leads our praise to the Father. We come in the consciousness of sonship before him, and there's that worship that rises up to the Father. Our thoughts, our appreciations of the Lord Jesus, that's the true worship. That's true worship. Our brother Ernie very helpfully showed us that, in one sense, the true worship is in contrast to that of the Samaritans, and that the spiritual worship is in contrast to that of the worship of the Jews. I believe there's another sense in which it's true, in the sense of being the fulfillment of the shadows of old. Jewish worship, no, it wasn't wrong. It's not false worship. It was an earthly worship, a sensual worship. It involves the senses. But it was what God established. And God established it to be a shadow of the true worship. But now we have no need of the shadow. We have the reality in the person of the Lord Jesus. And so when the scriptures speak of true worship, it's true in the sense of not something which is true in contrast to false, but true in the sense of now being fulfilled and complete. No longer a shadow, but the real thing. The real thing. And as we come together, on a Lord's Day morning, on the first day of a week, of the week, to remember the Lord as we're occupied with Him. Or it might be marked by failure and weakness. We might not be able to express in our prayers even what we feel in our own hearts. It might fall far short of what we want to say. But the Lord knows our hearts, and He takes account of it. Even the simplest, most feeblest prayer of thanksgiving and the unspoken thoughts of our hearts, all these things He takes account of. And it's pleasing to Him. He said to His disciples, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover. And surely when He takes account of His own, those of us whom He loved and gave Himself for us, when He sees us, takes account of us, remembering Him, what joy must fill His heart. And what joy it is to the Father to see those speaking well of His Son, the one for whom the heavens opened and the voice was heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight." And when we take upon our lips good things, blessings to do with the Lord Jesus, when we express our feeble and simple yet fervent thoughts and affections of the Lord Jesus, the Father, He hears that. It rises up as a sweet smelling savour. So this is all I wanted to bring before us, dear brethren, very simple and practical exhortation to each one of us. And those of us who've been breaking bread for many years, well, we can take account of it. We can be encouraged to value this great privilege that we have at the beginning of the week by week. Maybe next Lord's Day, if we're still here, we come together, maybe the last opportunity, the last time we need to remember the Lord, because we may soon be with Him. And so there's a sense in which every time it's one more time and one less. Maybe this is the last time. Well, would we want to miss out on an opportunity to respond to the simple desire of the Lord's heart? Do this in remembrance of me. Well, may the Lord help us if there's anything that's holding us back. Any sense of our own unworthiness. You know, the Apostle Paul, he charges us to judge ourselves. But the way in which it is brought before us, there's no sense in which we are to examine ourselves and realize we're not worthy and then to sit behind. That's not the thought at all. We'll never be worthy enough. We would never be worthy enough. This is the point. We judge ourselves. We realize once again that we are unworthy. And then we remember that the Lord, He's paid the price. He's taken our place. And therefore, positionally, before God, in Him, we are worthy. We're worthy to partake of the emblems in remembrance of Him. So, dear brethren, dear young one, dear old one, brother, sister, if you haven't yet taken up this privilege, if you haven't responded to that request of the Lord Jesus, "This do in remembrance of me." Think of poor Joseph as he perhaps waited to hear a response of the butler's presentation to Pharaoh. Nothing came. Well, it's a poor picture of the Lord Jesus, but what a disappointment it is to the heart of the Lord if we, for some reason, unnecessary reason, refrain from answering that simple desire request, "This do in remembrance of me." May the Lord help us to overcome whatever may be holding us back. And may he fill us with a sense of himself. When we come together, we often sing, don't we, gather to thy name, Lord Jesus, losing sight of all but thee. Wish it were more so. You know, when some of us have little ones, we're all too aware of other things. But the Lord helps us to lose sight of these other things, ourselves, things around us, things of the week, to be occupied with him. And then the Spirit can take a simple thought of him, and it rises up to him. What a wonderful scene it is. There's that sphere of enjoyment of the love of God which our brother Andrew spoke on just now. That's the place where we respond to God. May the Lord help us in a practical way for his name's sake. Amen.